Get your ears wrapped around the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. All the scoop you need to know, from college basketball to the NBA and even March Madness. News of your rising stars, topics on and off the hardwood. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast.
MC Basketball Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. All right, so let me tell you how today's show is going to go. All right, it's what? Been about 3 days since we've been without a basketball game. All right, All-Star Game was on Sunday. We don't get any games till tomorrow. So this is what how the show's going down. We are talking about tanking in the NBA in the first segment. I got some power rankings I want to do. We'll be doing those for the second and third segment. All right, split it up. 15 teams one segment, 15 the other. I'm not sure if I'm going to start from 30 up or go from number one down. So we'll figure that out. We'll be doing that. And then for the fourth segment, since we do have games tomorrow and not tonight, we will be picking the games for tomorrow. All right, we'll be talking about Damian Lillard, him saying that he should be regarded as a top five point guard, saying he is. Can't remember exactly how it came out. Pretty much anything else going on in the world of basketball. So that's how today is going to go. All right. So let's see. Anything I need to talk about before, though? I don't think so, man. Like this little dead period from Sunday to Thursday, there's been like no real true NBA. Well, I guess there has, but yeah, there's been NBA news, but nothing as far as like the players and stuff like that. You know, I don't know. It's been a weird little time period, but nonetheless, let's get into it. Let's talk about tanking in the NBA. All right, so I decided to talk about tanking because you got Mark Cuban, who was fined $600,000 by the NBA for, I think, comments detrimental to the league about how he told on Dr. J's podcast. All right, Julius Erving, believe it or not, that old guy does have a podcast. All right, so yeah, he said on his podcast that he told his team that it was best for them to lose. And he said a couple of other things. Let me see if I could find the quotes from what he said again. Let's see. He said that. Let's see. What did he say exactly? He said that he acknowledged that he told his team that it would be best for them to lose for the rest of the 2017-2018 season. Let's see. He said a couple of other things too. Said, I'm probably not supposed to say this, and this is in quotes too. I'm probably not supposed to say this, but like, I just had dinner with a bunch of our guys the other night, and here we are, you know, we weren't competing for the playoffs. I was like, look, losing is our best option. All right. That's what he told them. That's what he told the team. And I'm just not sure, like, it's kind of weird telling your team to lose if you're the owner, because there's this whole thing about like changing the outcome of games, and that's legal and stuff like that as far as betting and all that stuff if you're a player. But it's kind of weird. He's telling his players to lose or his team to lose, and I'm not sure really if he's talking about the players or he's talking about the coaches. But either way, he's telling someone to lose. All right. And how is that not changing the outcome of a game? Like the illegal way, you know? Like, not, I guess someone call it point shaving. But nonetheless, I mean, if you're out here telling your players to go out and lose, or it'd be best for them to lose, isn't that wrong? Isn't that bad? I don't get it. I mean, I understand one way of going about it and just telling the coaches, hey, sit this guy, I want this guy and this guy and this guy to play, and those three of this guys are from the D League, I get that, that's different, but nonetheless, I mean, telling your team that it's best for them to lose, I feel, takes away the integrity of the game, all right, and I mean, I have no problem with it, whatever, you want to tank, that's cool, but, I mean, it's just kind of weird, it's like a little, I don't know. He's on the edge right here saying that stuff. But yeah, you got fined $600,000. And I mean, that's not a big fine for Mark Cuban or anything like that. That dude probably spent $600,000 in a day if he wanted to. But nonetheless, I mean, tanking in the NBA is kind of weird, okay? We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about pretty much the difference from tanking to rebuilding. We'll talk about like how, I don't know, like let's start off with tanking, all right? What is tanking? I think tanking obviously is just where you just go out and try to lose, I guess. I mean, you sit your best players or your best players since you're already a bad team, all right? And you just, I don't know, put a bad product out there. Like the Sixers, they used to put out like, what, 5 D-leaguers it seemed like when they were tanking. I mean, it was just brutal, all right? And I guess that's what the Mavericks are. I don't understand, like, how does tanking happen, all right? Do you just go and tell your players, hey, go out and lose these games? Or do you tell the coaches, I don't want this guy playing because we need to start losing games? And that's another thing, too. I don't really see Rick Carlisle as a coach who's coaching to lose. All right? I always feel he's going out there with a different game plan every night, trying to go out and win ball games. All right? So that's kind of a weird little dynamic there. I mean, you got Mark Cuban telling his players that it's best for them to lose. And I'm sure you got Rick Carlisle, who I doubt is trying to lose. I mean, it just makes no sense to me how, I don't know, tanking is a weird little concept if you think about it. All right, but yeah, tanking is pretty much just what the Sixers have been doing. And as far as what the Mavericks are doing, I mean, I guess it is difficult for them to tank. I mean, because you got Wesley Matthews, Dennis Smith Jr., you got Harrison Barnes, and Dirk plays pretty well on a good day now. I mean, you got those guys. So, I mean, those are still quality basketball players. So I guess you got to sit a bunch of them and just pretty much hope for the best. I mean, I'm sure you don't sit guys like Dennis Smith Jr. Maybe sit a guy like Dirk. I mean, just pretty much tell him, hey, we're trying to lose games. Go ahead, take a seat for the rest of the season and have a nice retirement. I mean, same with Harrison Barnes. They're paying him a lot of money still. They got to get rid of that guy, all right? Because if they're trying to rebuild, I don't see why you pay a guy like that. Pretty much just start off fresh if I'm the Mavericks. But, I mean, Harrison Barnes has been pretty good for the Mavericks since he's been there, right? Like the long-lost Golden State Warrior player. That's crazy. Harrison Barnes used to play on the Warriors. Was he on that first team when they won a championship? Was Harrison Barnes on that roster? Let me see if I can find that. Or did he leave right after that? Or did he leave right before that? Because I know Mark Jackson left and then they won the championship the year after. But I'm not sure if Harrison Barnes was there. I know he wasn't there, at least I don't think, the second year. Yeah, he wasn't there. Was he there for the second year? I can't remember exactly. Dude, Harrison Barnes is like the long-lost Splash Brother, I feel. But nonetheless, I mean, getting back to it. Yeah, the Mavericks, as far as tanking goes, might not even need to sit those players because of the fact they're already 18-40. I think they do have the second worst record in the league. It might be the third worst. Let's see. No, they got the third worst. The Hawks and the Suns are tied for the worst. So, I mean, you're already a bad team without sitting all these guys. So I say just, I don't know, it just makes no sense to me going and telling players to lose. But nonetheless, let's move on a bit. Let's talk about the difference between tanking and rebuilding. Is there a difference? I'd like to think so. I mean, because I guess tanking is just you like trying to lose, and rebuilding is obviously you trying to win, but you're just not good enough to go out and win. All right, like that's one thing that doesn't make sense too. That's like how these teams are. Teams that tank, I don't know, like, they do know that they are terrible teams, right? Like, they know they're bad. They know that even if you go out and give your 100%, chances are you're probably going to lose any given game, all right? So that's one thing I don't get, all right? If you're already a bad team, what's the point of going out and trying to lose already? You're no good. No one thinks you're good. So why go and just make it worse, all right? Why not go compete and try and win ball games? And I get that. I mean, it could, how do you say, affect your draft position, but if you got a good scouting department and a good GM, then you're already going to, it's pretty much on them to draft the best player. I mean, getting you the number one pick doesn't mean that you're going to get the best player, because you could be like a team like the Sacramento Kings, where you could draft a guy like maybe Klay Thompson or Kawhi Leonard, and you go and you draft a Jimmer Fredette, who's playing in China now. All right, so I guess that's one thing about it too, but I mean, getting back to it, I mean, it just doesn't make sense for you to already be a bad team who's already struggling to win games. I mean, what's going out and trying to lose going to help, all right? You're already going to lose. There's no point in trying to force the fact, all right? But as far as tanking and rebuilding, I feel like the Sixers are the definition of tanking, and the Celtics would be the definition of rebuilding, right? The Sixers, remember, I think they had like, what, five top three picks, one year top four picks at least. You had Nerlens Noel, Jahlil Okafor, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and Markelle Fultz. Two of those have worked out so far. It could be three, depending on if Markelle Fultz ever remembers how to shoot basketballs. So there's that. But I mean, even when the Sixers were drafting up high, I mean, they got Nerlens Noel, shut him down for the year. All right, Jahlil Okafor, I think he played from the get-go, but never really turned into anything, I guess. That was a waste of a first-round pick. Could they have had Towns, or did Okafor get traded or get drafted right after Towns? I can't remember exactly. I have to double-check that, but I know that's the same. Didn't they come out the same year? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But either way, I mean, the Philly really went 0-for-2 on those first picks, then went 2-for-2 on those second picks. Or was it Joel Embiid? They draft Joel Embiid before Okafor. I have to double check that. But nonetheless, the Sixers tried being bad, all right? They'd sit players because they were hurt all the time. Or they'd sit players just to sit them and have those D-leaguers come in. So that's tanking. Like, pretty much putting out the worst possible team in order to lose games. All right, the Celtics, I say that they're the definition of rebuilding because, I mean, once they traded Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, they tried acquiring picks, which they did. And that's pretty much what their goal was going forward, to try and acquire picks. And I'm not sure why teams don't really try this method. I guess it's a little unfair to say because, yeah, the Celtics did have the ability to trade away a guy like Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett to the Nets. At one point, seemed like a decent trade, I guess, for the Nets because, I mean, they were trying to go out and win games, trying to build up a team that could possibly make a little finals run at the end of Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett's career. I mean, they had Darren Williams. They had Joe Johnson there, too. And they ended up sending away those four Brooklyn picks, like Gerald Wallace and a couple other players, but those guys didn't really matter. So, I mean, the first three Brooklyn picks Boston used were on James Young, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum. So far, it's looking like two of them have worked. James Young is nowhere to be seen or heard from in the league, I guess. And as far as the fourth one goes, they traded that away and got a guy like Kyrie Irving. Yeah, you gave away Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder, but sure enough, the Celtics ended up winning that trade. So, I mean, the Celtics have been pretty much just rebuilding through trades and the draft, all right? Getting guys like Terry Rozier, getting guys like Marcus Smart, okay? Getting guys like Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. Let's see who else they draft on that team. Some guys like Semi Ojeleye coming off the bench and contributing a tiny bit, all right? Yeah, Celtics, you could say, possibly still even are rebuilding right now just because of the fact that they got a bunch of picks left. I mean, this upcoming draft, if the Lakers pick doesn't fall 2 through 5, I think they get the Kings picked in 2019, and that's only top one protected. So, I mean, chances are if the Kings don't get the number one pick in the 2019 draft, Celtics get that one. So, I mean, they've still got a lot of stuff they can do as far as building this young team. And the Celtics right now, I think, like, the fifth youngest team in the league. So, yeah, that's the definition of rebuilding right there. But as far as tanking goes, I mean, I'm not really sure how you stop the idea of tanking, all right? I mean, you could stop them from talking about it, like Mark Cuban getting fined $600,000, but, I mean, I don't think you go out, because I know there was talks about how teams could possibly get fined for, remember the last couple of years, how teams like the Spurs, like Greg Popovich would go and sit their best players against the top teams in the league, and people would get mad, fans would get mad because they say they pay to see those players. And that's one thing I never liked about it, too. Fans saying that they pay to see certain players. No, you pay to see the teams. All right, the ticket doesn't say LeBron James versus Kawhi Leonard or anything like that. You pay to see the teams and whatever they put out. But that's a conversation maybe for the fourth segment. All right, but either way, getting back to it, I mean, I don't think they ever did, and I don't think you ever could, and I don't think they're ever going to find bad teams for sitting their good player. So, I don't know. Tanking is kind of like a delicate situation. It's going to be interesting to see as the season plays out because there's a lot of teams who are really bad and trying to get that number one lottery slot. So we'll see how it all ends up. I mean, you got 3-4 teams, I think, with 18 wins. So obviously, they're all going to try and lose a bunch. So we'll see how it all ends up as the season progresses. So that's all I got to say about tanking. But that's going to wrap up this segment. Like I said, for the next two segments, we're going to be talking NBA power rankings. All right, so stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. We spent that first segment talking about tanking in the NBA, gave my thoughts on it. I mean, some people don't like tanking. I mean, I don't really have a problem with it because, I don't know, I feel like my favorite team's never been really one to tank or anything like that, so I've never really experienced it as a fan. But I know at one point, I mean, Philly was ready to rip Sam Hinkie's head off, it seemed like, but now they love him. So I guess it works. You just got to execute when you're tanking, right? You got to be able to hit every move right like the Sixers did. And poor Sam Hinkie, dude, was the reason why this team is where it's at now, and he can't even enjoy it. And they're already ready for Brian Colangelo to leave because this whole Markelle Fultz situation, whatever we got going on. And that's one thing, too. I mean, what's going on with Markelle Fultz? When's he going to be back? I have no clue. But for the second segment and the third segment, we're going to be doing power rankings, okay? This is how we're going to do it. We're going to start off from the bottom. We're going to talk about each team that I list, okay? We're going to do 15 for this segment and then 15 for the next. Like I said, we'll talk about each team as it goes on. So, I mean, it's not going to be like, oh, yeah, Suns last or whatever. I'm going to say a little bit of some stuff, all right? So, let's get into it. For my number 30 team in my power rankings, obviously, it's the Phoenix Suns. Currently 18-41, 27 games back of the first seed in the West. I think they're 9-21 at home, 9-20 on the road, and just really have been a mess since Steve Nash left that place, all right? Since Steve Nash, Marty Stoddard, and all them left. As far as what the Suns need to do to get better, I guess it's pretty much just keep drafting and hope you hit on a couple more. Because, I mean, Josh Jackson, for the most part this season, hasn't looked the best the last month or so, I should say. He has looked good, playing a whole lot better. Devin Booker looking like he's turning into one of the best scorers in the league, at least getting to that point. Not there yet, but he is getting there. So, I mean, you got two good players there. I feel like Dragan Bender might end up being a bad pick at number four from last year. All right. And as far as everything else goes, I mean, Tyler Ulis, that's a role player. So they just got to keep rebuilding and hope that, I mean, this front office and coaching staff gets it together. I'm not sure if they're going to end up sticking with the coach they got now or going to end up looking for a new one in the offseason. But they just got to learn how to draft and pretty much they got to change up the entire culture in Phoenix. All right. I think that's one of the biggest reasons why they've been bad for so long. So the culture there is a mess. So they got to fix that up. And like I said, just keep building through the draft, hoping everything works out for them. So right now they're my 30th team in the NBA. At 29, I got the Atlanta Hawks. All right. This is the first year in their tanking slash rebuild, whatever they want to call it. All right. I'm not sure if I'd say that they're tanking because it doesn't look like they're trying to lose on purpose. They're not sitting guys like Dennis Schroeder or anything like that. And I'm not even sure. The Hawks are a team, like, they know we don't need to sit Dennis Schroeder to lose, all right? We can just do that already. So as far as what the Hawks need to do, I mean, just enjoy the rebuild, all right? Because they're going to be bad for the next couple of years. Hawks have been a team that were in the playoffs year after year, I think in 2014, I think it was, or 2015. Or was it? Yeah, 14, 15, or 16, can't remember exactly. No, it wasn't 16 because that was last year. 15... It wasn't then, so I think it was 2014, yeah, where they had the number one seed, all right, at Jeff Teague, Paul Millsap, Al Horford. Who else did they have on that team? I'm missing someone else, too. I can't remember exactly. Yeah, Teague, Horford, Millsap, and Kyle Korver. I forgot because all four of those players made the All-Star game. So, yeah, that was a good team there, but got swept in the Eastern Conference Finals by the Cavs. All right, and the Hawks, like I said, they're just the team who made the playoffs year after year, but they're like the Portland Trailblazers, really didn't do too much in the playoffs, hoped to get out the first round if they didn't, oh well, at least they made playoffs and never really got out the Eastern Conference semifinals except for that one year where they played the Cavs and got swept. So, I mean, as far as the Hawks go, I mean, you got your franchise point guard and Dennis Schroeder, and you pretty much just got to keep building around on that team, right? John Collins, the rookie's been looking pretty good. So, like I said, just keep building around and I guess just you got to wait till we get the, like, it takes at least 3 years, I think, for the Hawks to be good again, at least competing, all right? So we'll see what they do. I think their current record, yeah, their current record is 18-41, just like the Phoenix Suns, I believe. Let me double check it. Yeah, 18-41. So Hawks very well could end up having the number one pick in the lottery, all right? So then at number 28, they got the Dallas Mavericks, the team that is known, like, that's known that they are tanking, all right? It's known that Mark Cuban told them to lose, or at least it's best for the team to lose, all right? So the Mavericks, I mean, Mark Cuban has always done well to keep his team relevant and playing good basketball, But this is like the first year where they're just really, really bad. All right, like truly bad. I guess last year they were pretty bad too. But I mean, you got Harrison Barnes, you got Dennis Smith. Eventually, you're gonna have to get rid of Wesley Matthews Jr. All right, Dirk Nowitzki is gonna be retiring this season. And why don't we regard Dirk as a top 10 player all time? Like, why? All right, I think he. Let me see what he is on the all time scoring list. I know he's up there. I think he's got to be like top six. Let's see. All-time NBA scoring list. All right. Let me see if I can find it right here. I know Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He's number one. And you got Karl Malone at number two. Kobe at number three. Michael at four. Will at five. And then Dirk, number six, all-time in scoring. Okay. Then you got LeBron at number seven. And LeBron's going to be passing up Dirk next year for sure. All right. Let's see. LeBron can pass up Dirk. Could pass up Wilt next year, too. LeBron might end up being the highest scoring player of all time. But nonetheless, yeah, Dirk is sixth all-time in the all-time points list, okay? Why don't we talk more about him being a top player all-time? Like, I'm not even sure people think of Dirk as a top 15 player all-time. I don't know. This might be a hill that I'm alone on. Let's see. Where is Dirk Nowitzki as far as rebounding goes? He's probably not up there too much. Yeah, he's not even top 25 on rebounding, so maybe that's where Dirk really just doesn't belong, maybe, I guess. But I don't know, dude. Dirk Nowitzki deserves a whole lot more respect than what he's gotten. All right? I think we love Dirk, but we need to appreciate Dirk, okay? So, yeah, the Mavericks, I mean, pretty much same with the Atlanta Hawks, all right? Just got to enjoy the rebuild and keep drafting well, all right? Dennis Smith looks like he's going to be a hit at point guard. Looks like that was a good pick there. So you got to keep just continuing going on. You're going to have to find Dirk's replacement and all that. So I got the Dallas Mavericks at number 28. 27, I got the good old Sacramento Kings, all right? The Kings are, I don't know. They're the Kings, dude. You got De'Aaron Fox. You got Justin Jackson, Willie Cauley-Stein, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Buddy Hield, Garrett Temple, all right. Frank Mason was looking good before he got hurt. All right, I think they got you got Harry Giles, too, who hasn't played this season, probably won't either, probably good to go for the beginning of next season. But, I mean, the Kings eventually got to get it right, finally. All right, whether it's this, yeah, it has to be this draft. The Kings need to get that franchise-changing player, okay? De'Aaron Fox could be that, but he still needs to develop a whole lot more. They need like that Ben Simmons type, all right? Not like anyone as good as Ben Simmons. There's no one as good as Ben Simmons in this draft. But you need that guy that you know right off the bat, ooh, he's going to be a star for this team, okay? The Sixers got it in Ben Simmons. Celtics might have it in Jason Tatum. Let's see, who else got drafted this year? I mean, those are probably the two best players. Oh, the Jazz, they got it in Donovan Mitchell, all right? And let's see, anyone else who's been a real big hit this year? I mean, the Bulls, they got it in Lauri Markkanen. Okay, you need guys like that. Guys that you are already contributing, already probably the best player on your team. I know Tatum isn't, but Simmons, Mitchell, and Markkanen, you can all make arguments for. I mean, I'll take Embiid over Simmons. I guess it's Mitchell and Markkanen. But nonetheless, you need players like that. All right, that's what the Kings need to do in this draft. They need a guy like that, someone who right off the bat contributes, is playing well, and you know that's going to be our player on this team, like that star player on this team that leads us, all right? So they need to do right on that pick. Because if not, it's pretty much just going to be a lot of young guys where you're still missing that one piece, all right? So that's what the Kings are right now. A bunch of young guys who have talent, but they're still missing that one piece that brings it all together. Then at number 26, we have the Sacramento Kings of the East, the Orlando Magic, okay? And the Magic have been bad for so long, all right? Been bad since Dwight Howard left, really haven't fixed it at all, and I'm not sure how they do or what they do, okay? They struggle drafting, and when they do draft someone, like they're like the Timberwolves too, except the Timberwolves are just better, all right? A lot of young talent, not developing it well enough, and, I mean, just not winning ball games, not competing, okay? So the Magic, I don't know what they do, honestly. The Magic are like lost. They're like in the sunken place from that movie Get Out, all right? It's just they've been bad for so long. They're just going to need something like that little strike of lightning or magic or whatever that phrase is, all right, to where it helps fix them, because they got a long way to go before they, like, they're not even on the Kings level. Like, the Kings have, like, young players and they're not winning a lot of ball games, but you know they got talent, all right? The Magic, they got some talent, but that's it. You got Aaron Gordon. Evan Fournier is pretty good. I'm not talking about Simmons either. I'm talking about the younger guys on the team. But either way, the Magic got to figure something out. At number 25, I got the Memphis Grizzlies. All right, hung around the 8th to the 6th to 8th seed year after year and finally caught up to them. Here they are with the bad teams. Mike Conley out for the year. They signed him to a ridiculous contract last year. All right, I highly doubt he stays in Memphis for his entire career. And like with Mike Conley, I don't know, it's kind of good for them because let's say Mike Conley gets healthy again for the next season. All right, maybe the Memphis gets a solid player in the draft. I mean, maybe Memphis could be a team that's fighting for the 8th seed in the next year. So Memphis really, I don't know, they're a weird team. At number 24, I got the Brooklyn Nets. And Brooklyn's got a first-round pick this year. I can't remember whose it is, but it's going to be a late pick. I'm pretty sure about that. All right, their pick belongs to the Cavs. So, I mean, as far as Brooklyn goes, they still got to wait another year before they could actually start rebuilding, tanking, or whatever it is. And I just got an update on Bleacher Report from my phone. This is just happening right now. It's 3:17 as I'm doing this. You're going to hear it later. You should already know about it. But Greg Popovich says he doubts that Kawhi, he'd be surprised if Kawhi Leonard plays again this season. That is sad. Not too happy about that. All right, so yeah, looking like Kawhi Leonard won't be back this season. Probably could have saved that for the fourth segment, but I'm telling you guys as I'm finding out about it. All right, so yeah, Kawhi Leonard, Greg Popovich said, probably won't play this season. All right, so congrats to the Warriors and Houston Rockets. You guys get to battle it out in the Western Conference Finals to see who goes to the NBA Finals. All right, so that's done. West is done. Wrap it up. Save the season, all right? But yeah, getting back to it, the Nets, I mean, they got to wait another year before they could actually truly start rebuilding. And you got the Chicago Bulls at 23. They're that young team where they shouldn't be winning games or at least competing, and they are, okay? They're not winning a bunch of games or anything like that. I think they have a little over 20 wins, or they just have 20 wins right now. Let me see what they currently got. Let's see. They're currently 20-37, so yeah, they're right at 20 wins. All right, I like where the Bulls are doing right now, okay? They're a young team, but they compete, and that's all you can ask for. So you got to keep rebuilding through the draft. They did well in getting Lauri Markkanen. Zach LaVine's been playing well. Chris Dunn's been a nice little player for them. So we'll see how it all plays out for the Chicago Bulls. Then at 22, you got the New York Knicks. Oof. Kristaps Porzingis gone. Probably won't be back next year because the Knicks are going to be just as bad. So, I mean, they're going to have two. They gotta really tank their way in order to have a top five pick, right? They currently got 23 wins. There's four teams worse than them in the East. And there's, let's see, they got 23 wins. All right, yeah, so there's four teams worse than them in the East. And there is four teams worse than them in the West. So that's not good for the Knicks. They really got to figure out how to get this whole tanking thing going so they can get a top five pick or at least a top six pick. All right, so the Knicks are at 22. At 21, I got the Lakers. They are they're a team that competes. They play well. I mean, they show up against good teams and play them tough. So, I mean, the Lakers are on their way to getting back to where they need to be as a team in the NBA, okay? And I guess they're LeBron James and Paul George away from being a top four team in the West, but I'm not sure how that's going to happen. So as far as the Lakers go, they just got to keep rebuilding, and they can't be banking on those two guys going there, right? They got to pretty much, that's hope for it, but don't expect it, all right? Expect to rebuild and all that, build your team through the draft, and hope that maybe Paul George or LeBron James falls into your lap. At number 20, I got the Charlotte Hornets. They are a real disappointing team this year. Didn't trade Kemba Walker at the trade deadline. I think they're going to end up trading him in the offseason. There's no reason to have Kemba around. I mean, you're not winning ball games with him there, so he's pretty much wasting his career. So yeah, I got the Charlotte Hornets at number 20. At number 19, I got the Detroit Pistons. All right, they played well with Blake Griffin for the first few games. Kind of went back on a little bit of slide. I think they were 22-26, ended up going 27-26, then lost three in a row there. So, I mean, I don't know. Detroit's just got to hope for Reggie Jackson to come back and hope that he makes them a playoff team. Because with just Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond, yeah, they play well, but they're still missing that one thing, right? So I got Detroit at number 19. At number 18, I got the LA Clippers. Currently 30-26, a half game back of the Pelicans for that 8th seed. They're a team trying to rebuild too, but I mean, they have a chance at making playoffs. I highly doubt that Doc Rivers has them tank or anything like that, so it's pretty much they're going for it now. You got DeAndre Jordan, who I think could opt out of his contract. You got Lou Williams, who's signed an extension this year. I mean, they got a lot of young players on that team. I like the way they're going about their rebuild. All right, then at number 17, I got the Miami Heat. All right, the Miami Heat are currently the 8th seed in the East, 30-28, 2.5 games up on the Actually, they're a game and a half up on the Detroit Pistons. Miami was a team who was playing good basketball. They were the four seed at one point. It wasn't even like that long ago. It was a few weeks ago they were the four seed, but just kind of slipped up. And they really just got to figure out a way to put points on the board and pretty much just play well. I think as of right now, they're fine as far as worrying about Detroit. But once Detroit gets Reggie Jackson back, Miami's going to have to look over their shoulder. At number 16, I got the Utah Jazz. All right. Utah's currently on a 11-game winning streak. Let's see, they are game and a half back of New Orleans for that 8th seed. Utah could very well make the playoffs, dude. They hit the lottery on that Donovan Mitchell pick, right? That dude is going to be a star in the NBA going forward. I mean, he might even take away that Rookie of the Year award from Ben Simmons this year, right? Everyone's been thinking it was going to be Ben Simmons, but Donovan Mitchell was coming back hard after Ben Simmons. So Utah did well there. I mean, they lucked out, losing Gordon Hayward and getting a guy like Donovan Mitchell. Obviously, they wouldn't be as good as they aren't as good as they would be with Gordon Hayward, but nonetheless, I mean, they got lucky there. And then for my 15th team in my rankings, number 15, we got the Philadelphia 76ers, currently the number 7th seed in the East, 30-25. You got to trust the process. Embiid's playing well. Ben Simmons, like I said, is probably going to be the Rookie of the Year unless Donovan Mitchell takes that away from him. They got to figure out what's going on with Markel Fultz, because Markel Fultz just doesn't end up working out and ends up becoming the biggest bust of all time, then Philly's going to be in a bit of trouble, because with just Simmons and Embiid, they're just a fringe playoff team. So they got to figure all that stuff out, though, too. So those are my bottom 15 teams. Next up, we'll go from 15 to 1 in the third segment. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. So far, we talked about tanking in the NBA. In the last segment, we did teams 30 through 15 in the league for my NBA power rankings. Let me run through it real quick. I got Phoenix at 30, Atlanta at 29, Dallas at 28, Sacramento at 27, Orlando at 26, Memphis at 25, Brooklyn at 24, Chicago at 23, New York at 22, LA, the Lakers at number 21, Charlotte at 20, Detroit at 19, the Clippers at 18, the Heat at 17, the Jazz at 16, Philly at 15, and now we're going to do 14 through 1. All right, so let's get it started. At number 14, I have the New Orleans Pelicans. All right, they're 31-26, 13 games back of the number 1 seed in the West. They won't be getting that. All right. I like what they've been doing since the Marcus Cousins been out. All right, they didn't let him going out pretty much ruin their season. They're still at the 8th seed. I thought by now they'd be done, but nonetheless, they're still playing good basketball and doing well, all right? And it was funny, Anthony Davis, I think it was today or yesterday, said that if DeMarcus Cousins was still there, they'd be a team who could make a run at the finals, okay? And that just got me thinking that Anthony Davis truly believes that. Like, he believes it, all right? And it's just crazy to think about how, I mean, when players say that they are the best in the league when they're truly not or anything like that, like, they truly believe it, man. Confidence is just something else, isn't it? So, yeah, I mean, with DeMarcus Cousins, the Pelicans are for sure a first-round exit, as they would be now, right? Because you're not getting past Houston or Golden State. But nonetheless, I mean, if you believe it, you believe it. But, yeah, I got them as my 14th best team in the league right now. Then number 13, I got the ultimate team that frustrates me the most, the Portland Trail Blazers, number 7 in the West, currently 32-26, half game up on the Pelicans, and 2.5 games back of the San Antonio Spurs. for the 3 seed. Crazy how that works, huh? But yeah, I mean, the Trailblazers have pretty much made the playoffs every year and get bounced every year, whether it be the first round, usually, or second round if they get lucky. So, I mean, there's not really much to talk about them right now. I mean, do I think they can make a run in the playoffs this year? Let's see, they're seventh seed in the West. They need to go up to at least number 6, all right? Because anyone that plays Golden State or Houston is getting knocked out in the first round. So in order for Portland to get out of that first round, they need to make it up to the 6th seed where you could face a team like Minnesota, San Antonio, or even possibly Oklahoma City. Because like I said, Greg Popovich said that he doubts that Kawhi, he'll be surprised if Kawhi Leonard plays again this season, all right? So yeah, I got Portland at number 13. At number 12, I got the Milwaukee Bucks. I think currently the 6th seed in the East and supposed to be the team of the future in the East, all right? You got Giannis Antetokounmpo. They got Chris Middleton, Eric Bledsoe. Jabari Parker's back off of injury. Malcolm Brogdon's hurt, but he's a solid player when he's out there. You got Thon Maker, and I got to be missing some other player. But nonetheless, currently the 6th best team in the East right now. 9 games back of the number 1 seed. 3.5 back of the... 2.5 back of the 3 seed behind the Cavs. All right. But, I mean, as if it all ended right now, Milwaukee would be playing Cleveland in the first round of the playoffs, and that'd be a tough matchup for Cleveland. Let me tell you, okay? Milwaukee is a team that I don't want to see in the playoffs, all right? If I'm Toronto, I'm trying to avoid Milwaukee. If I'm Boston, I don't really want to play Milwaukee either, all right? I think Milwaukee, out of the bottom 3 teams in the East, between them, the Sixers and the Heat, that's probably the worst team to play in the first round because that's one team that could knock you out, all right? So Milwaukee right now, I mean, they're still a young team, but they're not far off from contending in the East eventually, all right? So I got them at number 12. At number 11, I got the Denver Nuggets. One of my personal favorite teams to watch, right? Not a team to root for or anything like that, but I enjoy watching them play basketball. Gary Harris has been shooting the ball extremely well this season. Will Barton's kind of found his little role with the Nuggets as far as on the starting lineup. Jamal Murray's been shooting the ball well. Nikolai Jokic, if he fixes up his defensive problems, could end up being one of the best centers in the league, if not already. All right, so the Nuggets are a team that's just pretty much like the Bucks. They're young, but they're not far off from being a top team in their respective conference, all right? So I got the Denver Nuggets at number 11. Then we got the Washington Wizards at number 10. All right, the Wizards are currently the 4th seed in the East, I believe. Yeah, the 4th seed in the East, currently 33-24, game and a half back of Cleveland for that 3 seed. All right, been playing well without John Wall, 6-4 of the last 10 games. I know that there was a little dysfunction between John Wall and that team, all right? Marcin Gortat saying they were playing well without John Wall, playing better. If anything, I know John Wall didn't really like that, but either way, I mean, you need John Wall when you're in the playoffs. That's no question about it, right? You may be playing well now, but it's just the regular season. When the postseason comes, you need your best players, and John Wall was without a doubt the best player on that team. Not up for discussion or anything. All right, but it's good that they're playing well without him and winning ball games. All right, it's going to keep their playoff position a little bit higher. If the season ended today, they'd be playing a team like Indiana, and Indiana's a tough team. And speaking of Indiana, I got them at number 9, all right? Let's see, do they have them at number? Yeah, I do have them at number 9. Ooh, I said that really fast. But either way, getting back to it, Victor Oladipo probably going to end up being the most improved player this season, unless it's like the most surprising player. I'm not sure what the award is for the NBA. But nonetheless, dude's been playing lights out. I think he's averaging 24 points, around 5 assists, 2 rebounds, something like that. All right, playing in his hometown of Indiana. And I think last time I saw him, he was living with his parents. So it's the whole comfortability thing with it, Victor Oladipo. I think that's why they're playing so well. And the Pacers got a real nice young team, too. Like I said, I was talking on Monday about how they were thinking of changing up the playoff seeding and all that, just having the 16 best teams with the 16 best records make the playoffs. And I was talking about how it's a cycle pretty much. Like right now, the West is better than the East, but give it 2 years, dude, and the East is going to be way better than the West, okay? Because right now, I mean, it's just it's the Warriors and the Rockets, clear-cut best teams in the West, and after that, it's a big drop-off, all right? And you got a lot of young teams in the East who are going to be taking over eventually, and talking about the Pacers, I mean, you got Victor Oladipo, who's in his prime right now, you got Miles Turner, who's in his second year of his season right now, I believe, then you got, who else, you got Bogdanović, that's a nice shooter on that team, and I know there's a couple other players they got. You got Sabonis, who's been playing well too. So yeah, they got a lot of good young players, some in their prime and some that are young and developing to look forward to in the near future. So the Pacers are going to be a team that you're going to have to worry about. Same with the Bucks, all right? Then at number eight, I got the Oklahoma City Thunder, all right? I was extremely harsh on this team from the beginning of the season. You wouldn't know that because I just started doing this podcast, but if you go listen to the GSMC Sports Podcast episodes from earlier on this season, man, I was brutal on the Oklahoma City Thunder, all right? They're currently the fifth seed in the West, 33-26. Two games back of the Spurs for that three spot. And yeah, I was like, when they were playing poorly in the beginning of the season, I was like, oh yeah, Golden State's going to sweep them if they play. And you know what? I do think that Golden State probably beats them in five games now, probably a gentleman's sweep. But nonetheless, I mean, OKC's been playing pretty good basketball lately. Actually, what are they in their last 10? Let me see real quick. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. Not the best there. All right, still trying to compete with Minnesota and San Antonio for those top spots up there. But right as of right now, they'd be playing a team like the Minnesota Timberwolves in the playoffs if the season ended today. And I think that Oklahoma City could beat them in a 7-game series. So, I mean, right now it's pretty much a matter of Russell Westbrook or Paul George pretty much going that playing the season as it goes on, and pretty much Oklahoma City hoping that he ends up re-signing with them in free agency. So I got the Oklahoma City Thunder at number eight. At number seven, I got the Minnesota Timberwolves. All right, 36-25. Their winning percentage is a tiny bit worse than the Spurs, so that's why they're the fourth seed. And I mean, Minnesota could very well end up taking that over now that the Spurs at least have it in their mind that Kawhi's not coming back. That stuff does affect you, I'll tell you that much, right? So I mean, as far as the Timberwolves go, real young team, supposed to be one of those teams in the West, young teams in the West that end up taking over eventually. Team kind of like the Bucks, where, I mean, everyone expects the Bucks to end up going to the finals sometime soon. I'm not saying that's going to be the Timberwolves, but I think that that is the team that everyone thinks that could possibly knock off the Warriors as time goes on in the future, all right? So as far as the Timberwolves right now, I mean, I don't really think too highly of them just because they don't really compete too well against the top teams in the West, the top teams in the league for that matter, all right? They got to learn how to start playing with the big boys before they could be regarded as one. So yeah, I got them at number seven. Number six, I got the San Antonio Spurs, currently the three seed in the West, all right? Like I said, only a few percentage points higher than the Minnesota Timberwolves as far as winning percentage goes, 10 games back of Houston for that number one spot. Not going to be getting Kawhi Leonard back this season. At least that's what Greg Popovich was saying. He said he'd be surprised if he comes back. So I mean, the Spurs is pretty much like a hope for the best, expect the worst type thing, right? I don't think they're going to be going too far in the playoffs, maybe make it to the Eastern Conference semis, but then as of right now, if the season ended, they'd be playing the Warriors in the Eastern Conference semis. I mean, they're probably either going to be playing them or the Houston Rockets in that second round, so good luck to them, but not really much to root for. Then at number five, I got the Boston Celtics, all right? Currently the number two seed in the East. Haven't been playing good basketball as of late. Let's see what they are in their last 10 games. They're currently 5-5 in their last 10, all right? Haven't been playing well, like they said. Currently lost three in a row. Going to be getting Marcus Smart back on Friday, it's looking like, and they really need him back. That defense hasn't been looking too good, and the offense has been extremely inconsistent. I think they might be, oh no, they're averaging 103. I thought they were averaging, it might be good for bottom of the league and as far as points per game. But nonetheless, I mean, Boston, they got out to a hot start because of their defense, and I feel like they got away from that, and they really got to figure out a way to start scoring consistently, because if not, it's going to be difficult to beat teams like the Raptors and Cavs. So the Boston Celtics still got to figure some things out. I wonder if Brad Stevens is going to make any changes to the lineup come Friday, because I know he was talking a bit about it. I said that they should probably move Jason Tatum to the second unit and have Marcus Smart come in and start. I think with Jason Tatum running with the twos, then he's going to have more opportunities to score and shoot along with Terry Rozier, so we'll see what they do there. At number four, I got the number three seed in the West, or in the East, I should say, Cleveland Cavaliers, right? 6.5 games back of Toronto for that one seed, 4.5 back of Boston for that two seed. Cavs, they played two games with their new look squad, all right? Still got to give it time for it to work out, but from those two games, they played extremely well, so it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out as the season goes. Don't think they have a chance at the Warriors in the finals, and pretty much now it's a matter of seeing if LeBron's going to end up staying or if he's going to end up going, so they got to play well in order to keep him there. So I got them at number four. At number three, I got the Toronto Raptors, all right? Finally starting to get a little bit of respect. Still not sure how well they do in the playoffs just because of the fact that Kyle Lowry shrinks when it comes to the big time. So right now, they are the best team in the East, all right? 24-4 at home, 17-12 on the road, 9-1 in their last 10. So there's not really much bad you could say about the Toronto Raptors. Bench is playing good. DeMar DeRozan's playing like one of the best players in the league right now. So pretty much just got to keep it going. Then at number two, I got the number one seed in the West, the Houston Rockets. All right, 44-13, half game up on the Warriors. Everyone's talking. Is this going to be the year that someone knocks off the Warriors in the Western Conference playoffs? It could happen. I doubt it will, though. Houston's been playing well. I think James Harden should end up winning MVP this year, like I always say. Probably should have won it last year if Russell Westbrook only averages about two or three assists less. So we'll see if he ends up getting it this one. And then for number one, I got the Golden State Warriors, as they should be, right? Yeah, I get to the number two seed in the West right now, but that didn't matter too much. You still got Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and a nice little bench there too. So, I mean, they're still the team to beat in the league, so there's not really much to say about them. We know what kind of team they are, so I got them at number one. All right, so that's gonna actually wrap up the power rankings. Just to get back to it, I got the Warriors at number one, Houston at number two, Toronto at number three, Cleveland at number four, and then Boston at number five to round out the top five there. All right, so next up, I mean, we'll be talking about anything else going on in basketball. Maybe talk a bit about Damian Lillard saying that he's a top five point guard in the NBA right now. Pretty much talk about anything else going on in the league. Make the picks for tomorrow's games too. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen,
it's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
And welcome back to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. So far today, we've talked about tanking in the NBA and did my power rankings for the second and third segment. And for this one, pretty much going to talk about anything else going on in the world of basketball. Going to make my picks for tomorrow's games. Since we will have a podcast tomorrow, we'll be back on Friday. So we'll be doing that. And pretty much, like I said, talk about anything else going on in basketball. So let's get it started. All right, so first thing I want to talk about is how lucky of a man Joakim Noah is, okay? That guy is getting paid so much money to not even play basketball. If I'm him, I just retire. I just retire. All right. There is no incentive for me ever coming back to play for another team. You want to know why? Because the Knicks owe me $54 million still for my contract. All right. And that's with me not even playing another game for them. Said that Jeff Hornacek said that he's going to be away from the team for the foreseeable future. I don't think there's a future for Joakim Noah in New York. And I'd have no interest picking up another basketball. All right. I'd rather just sit, get paid, and enjoy life. Okay. No reason for Joakim Noah to come back unless he just loves the game that much. All right. I mean, the guy just pulled off the ultimate finesse move of all time, getting that contract from the Knicks, doing barely having to play. I mean, I'm literally jealous of Joakim Noah. All right. Making millions upon millions of dollars just to be away from the Knicks. All right. Who wouldn't want to be away from the Knicks? All right. But like I said, I mean, there's no reason for Joakim Noah to ever come back. You're not going to get anywhere near a type of contract that the Knicks offered you. No one wants to pay you that type of money. You're probably going to get maybe the veteran minimum if you go back and play for another team, all right? Just because of how bad he was with the Knicks. But I mean, for him to be away from the team, they still owe him $54 million. Now, he's not interested in a buyout. No one's interested in trading for that contract. I mean, that is life done right. That is the American dream right there, if I've ever seen one. All right? Genuinely jealous of Joakim Noah because he's getting paid all this money just to live his life now. All right? I mean, that's just another dumb move the Knicks have made, though. I mean, the Knicks have been dumpster fire of a franchise since I can remember. I mean, since I've been born. All right. I'm sorry, Knicks fans, but your team is so overrated. Let me tell you. All right. The only reason the Knicks are, I guess, relevant is because they play in New York. Literally the only reason why. Haven't won a title since what, 1975? All right. I think, what was it, Willie Reed coming out with a bum ankle or something like that. I can't remember exactly, but man, the Knicks have been so bad. I just don't understand it. They're like the Jets, extremely overrated as far as an NFL franchise goes. I mean, Joe Namath, overrated. All right, this might be a little New York rant here. Let's see. The Giants are cool. Yankees, evil empire. The Mets are the Mets. They're still paying Bobby Bonilla. That's all you need to say about them. So, city of New York as a sports town is honestly extremely overrated, except for two teams. All right. Knicks just really haven't done anything. I don't understand why they're regarded as a franchise on that same level as the Celtics and Lakers. All right. The Lakers and Celtics have actually won stuff. They've actually done things. All right. They're not just a product of the media outlet, the media city they play in. Okay. But nonetheless, I mean, good on the Knicks. Get on the city of New York, all right? Mets is playing Bobby Bonilla still. The Knicks are still going to be paying Joakim Noah. Congrats, all right? So that's all I got to say about that. Let's talk about Damian Lillard a bit, all right? He says that he is a top five point guard in the league. I say, not so fast, all right? Westbrook, Curry, Irving, Wall are better. All right. Is Chris Paul better than Damian Lillard? I think so. I think that Chris Paul is a better all-around player than Lillard. But I do think like Lillard is number six. All right. Because I was thinking about it earlier, and I was having a lot of trouble deciding who I wanted as the fifth, who I had as my fifth best point guard in the league, whether it be Lillard or Chris Paul. And yeah, I do think that all those other guys that I named are better than Chris Paul, too. I know Chris Paul is highly regarded and stuff like that, but I'll take those four guys over him as of right now. All right, so, I mean, Chris Paul, yeah, he's all around better than Lillard. All right, Lillard is a good scorer, probably one of the best in the league, real fast player, but I think Chris Paul could do more than Lillard. So, I have Chris Paul at number five, and that's one thing, too. These players got to stop caring what everyone else thinks. I mean, it's honestly kind of weird and annoying to see. I mean, these dudes truly care. That's why we didn't get an NBA All-Star draft, because no one wanted to be seen getting picked last. I mean, are you serious? Really? You're worried about getting picked last in a draft? Between all-stars, all right, 24 best players in the league, and you're worried about being picked last, you're worried about being the 24th best player? She can't even say that because, I mean, the fans sometimes don't even vote in the right players. So, I mean, yeah, as far as Lillard being a top five point guard, I don't think so. I think he's number six. But, I mean, you could argue for Lillard as far as being in that number five spot, all right? So that's all I got to say about that. Now, let's wrap up the show and make our picks for Thursday's game, all right? Let's see. What do we got going on tomorrow? We got Nets, Hornets. Ugh. We got Knicks, Magic. Ugh. We got Wizards, Cavs. Good game. We got 76ers, Bulls. That'll be a fun one to watch if you're a fan of either of those teams. You got Thunder at Kings. Let's see. Tickets are at $24. I will not be at that one. Let's see. We got that. We got Clippers, Warriors. Okay. In Oakland. I always want to say Golden State. In Oakland. Okay. Let's see. First up, let's start off with the Nets and Hornets game. Charlotte favored by this one by 7.5. I'm gonna go with the Hornets in this one. They're 15-15 at home. The Nets are 8-19 on the road, and I think that the Hornets, they're just a better team right now. Right, they got the better best player out of these two teams, so usually got to go with that. So I'm going with the Hornets for my pick there. Then we got the Knicks facing off with the Orlando Magic. This is when the tanking is gonna start. When we got matchups like these, okay, we're gonna see who can sit the most players in this one. I'm going to go with the Knicks since I don't think they know how to tank right. So, yeah, I'll go with the Knicks winning that one. Not going to be good for them. Then we got the Wizards facing off with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I got to go with the Cavs. They're playing at home, 20-7 at home. All right, got the momentum of all the new players that came in. It's going to be interesting to see, too, though. They played two games, won those two, but got a break right after that. So we're going to see if they can still keep it going. But I got the Cavs winning that one. Then we got the Philadelphia 76ers facing off with the Chicago Bulls. I'm going to go with the Sixers on this one. There's no reason to go against them. All right, they got the better team, and they're all rested from All-Star Weekend and all that. So I'm going with the Sixers. Then we got the Oklahoma City Thunder facing off with the Sacramento Kings. Can the Kings pull up the upset in this one? No. I got the Thunder winning that one, all right? I think Russell Westbrook's going to have a big game. Maybe De'Aaron Fox plays well in this one too, but I'm going with the Thunder. Then for the final game of the night, we got the LA Clippers facing off with the Golden State Warriors. Don't think I've picked against the Warriors once this season, and we're going to continue that. All right, I got the Warriors winning this one. Literally no reason to pick against them in this one, so I got the Warriors beating the Clippers. To recap, I got the Hornets beating the Nets, the Knicks beating the Magic, the Cavs beating the Wizards, the Sixers beating the Bulls, Thunder beating the Kings, and Warriors beating the Clippers, all right? So that's going to wrap it up for today's podcast. We talked about tanking in the NBA. We did my power rankings for the second and third segment. And for this segment, we talked about Damian Lillard being a top five point guard, talked about how Joakim Noah is one of the luckiest people on this earth, and we made my picks for tomorrow's game. So thanks for listening to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. I am your host, Jesse Tapia. We'll be back on Thursday, so stay tuned till then, and we'll talk to you later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.